Research into citrus trees that have flourished even though they are surrounded by many HLB-damaged trees is discussed in this interview with University of Florida scientist Fred Gemitter. You have a long title to your grant looking into what we call escape trees, but you have another name for it.
Search for the miracle.
Tell us about that, what you're searching for out there in these escape trees.
Well, we're looking at a situation where we have a statewide disease situation. Things are declining everywhere, and what we're hoping to find, what we're looking for, are those rare individuals that might possibly be mutations for resistance against greening, or perhaps more likely, rootstocks that are allowing trees to survive and thrive even in the presence of greening.
And you're using, I know, extension agents to work with growers to try to find these trees. You told growers you're looking for black and white differences. Tell us about that.
Yeah, certainly black and white differences is what we're looking for. We see a lot of groves with a lot of trees where some trees are performing better than others. There might be a dozen, might be two dozen, 10 dozen. Those maybe are more likely trees that are still coming down with the disease. But what we're looking for are situations where just about everything has been plastered, and lo and behold, there's a tree standing out that's clearly, absolutely different from everything else around it.
You asked the question, are these escape trees, or maybe we'll call them miracle trees, are they resistant trees, or are they maybe just the last ones to be infected, I think you said?
Right. Well, that's the big challenge as you look at these things, you know, and we look back over time. We remember when greening first came and you saw one or two trees infected in the grove. That's the front end of the process. And at the tail end, you know, there's going to be one or two that are the last ones to be infected. So as we look at these trees, the question is, you know, are these the last ones? They just haven't been infected yet. Or are they the miracles that we're looking for?
You gave about three different possible reasons these escape trees might be different or truly resistant or tolerant.
Yeah, the gold standard, the ultimate thing that we would like to find, and probably the most unlikely thing to find perhaps, is that there's a mutation or some series of mutations in this scion variety that makes them absolutely resistant to greening. Another possibility, and perhaps this one is more likely, is that the rootstock that they're being grown on might be an off-type rootstock. A grower might have a grove of Swingle or Carrizo or Kuharsky, and you know, sometimes the nurserymen don't always pick out all the off-types. There's the possibility of an off-type being in there, and that off-type perhaps holds up better against greening. It might have a better ability to mine nutrients. It might be producing some molecule that signals the top of the tree that prevents it from being infected. We don't know, but we need to look at that as well. The third possibility, and another colleague of ours, Dr. Wong from the CREC, is looking at this, is that maybe there's some difference in the microbial community in the soil. There might be something down there that's perhaps, for example, producing an antibiotic that's being moved up into the top of the tree and preventing it from being infected. And so we're looking at all three possibilities.
When you and extension agents do find some possible trees you want to look at, what are you as researchers going to do with these trees?
Well, we want to cut budwood from the top of the tree and take it back, propagate it. Inoculate by grafting or by psyllid feeding, most likely by both, to see, in fact, if it is that miraculous, absolutely naturally resistant tree. Secondly, we take samples from the root system. We bring it back. We extract DNA. We fingerprint the rootstock to see, you know, is it Carrizo, is it Kuharsky, or is it an off-type from one of those? And then we propagate those and test them. And ultimately, all this has to go out to field trials. A lot of work. And so we have to kind of minimize the amount of stuff we bring in on the front end.
With the ultimate goal, of course, finding that tree that can be propagated and actually offer resistance.
Well, that's the ultimate goal, right. And, you know, in the spirit of the research community in this crisis we're in, you know, leaving no stone unturned, these are a couple of rocks we're flipping over to see what we can find.
What growers should do if they find these black and white trees, huge differences, the process you would like for them to follow?
Well, take a look at them, observe them, think about them, come to the conclusion that there really is something unique and different about these trees. then, you know, contact your extension agent, extension specialists, make them aware of it. We have a form available where we ask, it's a simple one-page form, we ask information about the location of the trees, the sign and the rootstock that you think they're on, what surrounding conditions are like, your fertilizer program and so on. Take some photos. As I said, get a hold of the extension agent and they'll evaluate them together with you. And if we come to the conclusion that there's something of interest there, then we'll be in touch, and we'd like to have access to the tree to collect budwood and do our testing and collect samples from the roots. We also need to try and propagate from the root system if there's something different about it.
Have you already found some of these trees? I know you've been working on this a couple months. Have you put some into the system yet?
Yeah, we have a handful of selections that we've gone out, growers have brought to our attention. We've propagated some of those. We've had to tweak our system of DNA extraction and fingerprinting with to use roots. It's a lot more difficult than leaves, but we've learned how to do that now. In most cases, we can tell whether the rootstock is true to type or a zygotic, and so those things are going on right now. We have some root sprouts that from one of the trees, or from a handful of the trees, actually, that we've propagated. And so we're moving forward, and we're looking for more of these.
You told a little story at the start of your talk. Escape trees, the late Buster Pratt was kind of famous for looking for escape trees. Tell us that little anecdote, if you would.
Well, those who know Buster know that he was a big fan of looking at the disaster and finding that one or two survivors. And when I first met Buster, he talked about milum and ridge pineapple and how they were found in burrowing nematode-infested groves, and he was a big fan of this idea, and we're following that course.
Ernie Neff, Southeast AgNet.